Jacob. Jacob? Jacob, I have just about had enough of looking for you. Where are you this time? Jacob. Jacob, if I don't find you before your mother returns, I am going to be in so much trouble. Jacob. Jacob. Listen. I am your favorite uncle. But my sister, your mother, is not going to be happy if you are not here with me when she returns. That was the deal, remember? You are going to sit right here with me until she returns. Quietly. We will wait. No, you may not have anything to eat. Now that's just not fair, Jacob. Of course I will tell you a story while we wait. Of course I will tell you the story. The story. My story. I wonder how many times I made you sit to this story when you were just knee-high to a little lamb. But now you are older. And if I'm going to tell you the story, I'm going to tell you the whole story. I'm going to tell you the part of the story that you've never heard before. The part that comes before the angels. The part that comes before the celebration of the change of my heart. Because what you don't know, Jacob, that I will even find hard to tell you, is the man I was before the story. Jacob, I was a terrible person. I was an angry man. There were reasons for it, but no excuses. I was filled with grief in my heart and an emptiness that I knew would never be filled. When I was a younger man, when I was a boy, I had such hopes and dreams for what my life would be like. For even though we were in a time and still are that is somewhat oppressive related to the Romans, early in my life, my parents and the parents of Sarah had promised us to each other. Many of my friends were kind of not even interested in the people that they knew they would eventually marry, but not me. Sarah was the smartest and most kind and most gentle of all the girls, and she was my best friend growing up. And so we used to chat about what it would be like to be married. We didn't really know, but we thought it could be fun because we were friends. And so I grew, and I wanted to be a carpenter like my dad, like your grandfather, and work with my hands. And somehow I knew part of that would be about taking care of Sarah, and I think she was going to make me bread, and that would make me happy. And then one day I received the news that Sarah was very, very sick. And so I did as I had been told, and my family with me, and we prayed for her. As the Bible told us, as I had been taught since I was so tiny. And we prayed and prayed. And when she was still so young, just a tad older than you, Jacob, she died. Before any of her hopes or any of the dreams that her parents had for her, or the things that I couldn't even quite dream about, but I knew my future was supposed to be related to her. And I was devastated. No one could help me. No one seemed to understand what that was like. And out of that, my life just spun out of control. I did some horrible things that I will never tell you, but I am so ashamed of them. And there was nothing I could do with these deep feelings then of guilt and being unworthy. And people kept saying, go back and listen Listen to the words of the prophets. Listen to all of the holy teachers. You will find hope there. You will find God there. But I did not. I did not. I tried. Or I think I tried. But I did not. I listened. When they unrolled the scrolls from Isaiah, they said things like, put your hope in the Lord. I had done that. To what avail? To nothing. To nothing. When they opened the scrolls of Jeremiah, they read aloud from God his words to the exiles, in which he said, I know. Remember, you've heard this before. I know the plans that I have for you. And I'd always thought they had such great comfort, and I looked forward to what God had in store for me in my life. Some of the things I thought of, and some of them I just knew would be great, because God was great and was a loving God, and he loved me. But the rest of the verse rang hollow in my life. Plans to prosper you? Oh, really? And not to harm you? Oh, yes, said my sarcastic self. And then, just to make it a little worse, plans to give you a hope and a future. And I had none. I had none. I looked around me and found also the rest of my family, our people. I looked for hope as the chosen people. We were God's chosen people. We are God's chosen people. But at that time, I looked and said, chosen for what? Chosen for what? Chosen to have the Romans rule over us. Chosen for a decree to be made somewhere far, far away so that everybody had to go back and be counted. What an awful thing to do. Our town of Bethlehem was absolutely packed and overflowing with men and women and children who had traveled from afar to come back to Bethlehem because their forefather was David, just like ours. Why? Why did they have to do this? They had no money to travel. They had no place to stay. They came because they needed to be counted. Why? So they could be taxed. Everyone over the age of 12, including women, had a poll tax that was going to be put upon them. And the Romans needed to know exactly how much money was coming into their coffers. Oh, the Romans told us it was a time of peace. But for the chosen people of God, I think not. I think not. And I looked for hope and peace in all that I'd been taught about God in my life, and it was gone. People said to me, wait for the Lord. And I tried. And I heard nothing. And I looked at them and I said, chosen people, you have been waiting for how many generations and generations and generations for the coming of the Messiah? Do you see him yet? I think not. And we waited, and we waited, and we waited as a people. And so many of them were waiting for the Messiah to come to be a ruler. The scriptures told us so much about the power of the Lord that would come and all the things the Messiah would do when he came. And people talked as if it was going to happen like tomorrow. But I knew that people for ages and ages and ages in the past had also thought it was going to be tomorrow. And tomorrow never came. And I was done with God. In my heart, there was only room for my despair. I didn't see anyone coming with power to rule and to bring us peace. I saw no hope for my own future. Things beyond my control and things, yes, things that I had done myself, caused me to feel so unworthy and so unloved. And so Jacob, that is why I decided to become a shepherd. The Bible told me very clearly to delight myself in the Lord, and he would give me all the desires of my heart. And that was not true. The desires of my heart seemed irrelevant. And I was an angry, bad person. And although you, Jacob, think of shepherds as people who play with cute little sheep, the life of a shepherd is something so different. We were all gruff and rough men who didn't fit anywhere. That's why we were shepherds. We were outcasts. We had no civil rights. People actually called the caste of people that we were sinners. That was the name they gave to us, sinners. People were told never, ever, ever buy anything from someone who is a shepherd because you can be sure that it's been stolen. And so the depth of despair in my heart and the badness and the rawness came to be fulfilled over and over and over again as I worked out in the darkness. And somehow the darkness just reflected night after night as I was there with my sheep and with these other rough men, reflected the state of my heart. It was a horrible time in my life. It pains me to think how deep that despair was. And whatever would have happened to me had this night not occurred. I haven't thought of that darkness for a long time, Jacob. But you need to know that. You need to know that even in your life, there will be times that will be so dark they will shake your faith. When you will be looking for God to pierce through the darkness with his light, and you will struggle to see it. And that night, as all nights, we gathered around a fire, these other men and I, and began to take turns sleeping and watching the sheep, lest they be taken away by either other people who wanted to steal them or animals. I was not on my shift to be awake at that moment. But I will never forget. And I have no words, Jacob, to begin to tell you what it was like to all of a sudden be awoken to this sky that was bright and glorious in a way that I have nothing even to compare it to. It was brighter than a dawn. It was more glorious than the thing I had ever imagined in my life. It was supernatural. It just took my breath away. And yes, Jacob, for the first time in my life, I was speechless. And there in front of me was this heavenly body who immediately I thought must be an angel, simply because there was nothing about this person that had anything to do with this earth. It was so unearthly. And I was terrified and scared and comforted, and I had no clue what was happening. And as if that angel knew my every thought, the first words were, "Do not be afraid." Oh, how I needed to know those words. And then even more the words that followed. "I bring good news of great joy to you." I thought I was hearing things. "I am bringing good news of great joy to you," to me, to me. Now I knew for sure God wasn't real, because there was a major problem here. Why would an angel be coming with good news to me? I didn't even believe there was a God at this point, and if there was, he was not high in my books. This angel was standing and intervening my life to me? I wanted to say, excuse me, by the way, I think maybe you're in the wrong spot. So let me tell you where the synagogue is. Let me tell you where the learned people are and the people who are waiting for you. Long expected. Tell me. I can tell you, but this is not, you're not in the right spot. But in my heart, the words of peace already began to make a difference. And what was the message? Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. I was listening. I took one brief second and I looked around, and yes, it wasn't just me. I thought perhaps I was dreaming, but all of the shepherds were watching, just completely spellbound. And then the angel went on to say what exactly was happening. And the angel said, and he is Christ the Lord. I knew what those words meant. Those are the words used for the Messiah. He is Christ the Lord. This angel is here to tell us that the Messiah has been born? It made no sense to me. Why here? Why me? Why now? Why us? We're not good people. We're not good people. And then the angel said, and on earth peace, goodwill to all mankind. Out of this good news, somehow there was to be peace for all of us, not just for me, but for the entire world. I found myself on my knees. And as I looked up again, the entire sky, everywhere I looked, was full of these heavenly bodies that were praising God and proclaiming this peace. I don't think I will ever experience anything like that again. Although, as I've pondered, I've wondered if that's what heaven is like. Just being surrounded by praise for God, who but a few moments ago I wasn't sure existed, and now there was no doubt in my mind. Peace on earth. I wondered what that would look like. Because the angel told us about a baby. A baby. Somehow this peace was to be related to a little baby, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. That also made no sense to me. That's not what the Messiah was about. We were looking for power and rule and lordship and a new kingdom. And then the glory of the Lord in all of these heavenly bodies disappeared. And we looked at one another. And I must admit, we completely forgot about our sheep and said, let's go and see if this is true. Is this true? Is this true? And my heart was beating quickly because I wanted to know. I needed to know. This God that I had cut off from my life because he had disappointed me, this God in whom I had no hope, could in fact he be true? And could this amazing, miraculous message be true? And off we went to find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. As we went, we thought there probably are a lot of babies in Bethlehem, but one lying in a trough from which you would feed a donkey? That shouldn't be too hard to find, and in fact, it wasn't. We traveled not that far, and we turned a corner, and there was a stable built into the side of a cave, sort of. It was a rustic spot. There was nothing there but animals. But as we peered in, there was a very tired-looking young woman. And behind her, a man who seemed to be supporting her very life with his arm around her. And they looked at a way I have never seen people look before at this tiny baby lying in the manger. And you know, Jacob, once again, I found myself on my knees. I don't remember going there. But all of us, in our roughness and toughness and our pain and our brokenness, just came and looked at this babe. This babe who the angels had said was Christ the Lord. And this was the sign. The baby would not just be born in such a lowly estate as to come to earth as a baby in human form, but would be in such a plain spot. This is not the God I was expecting. This is not the Messiah I was expecting, if in fact there was one. And yet somehow I knew that this was the beginning of the new kingdom come on earth. I believe God brought to mind other promises in the Holy Scriptures about what this Messiah would be like. Because he also said the Messiah would come to heal the brokenhearted. That is what I needed. It said the Messiah would come to release the captives and to set them free. Oh, how I needed to be released from the guilt and the sense of unworthiness I had, some of which was certainly by my own doing, but some from the world around me and the darkness in which I lived. He came that we didn't need to be captives anymore of our past or of the things that bound us. Somehow, this little baby was going to change the world. It seems so unbelievable, but it was so clear in my heart that this was the hope of the world. All of my life, I had been looking for hope in something, in my future, in the lovely young girl I thought would be my wife, in the occupation I thought I would have, in having a family. And I realize now that the only hope I needed was in this wee little babe that God had chosen to come and tell shepherds about. Absent in this story, Jacob, you will see, are all the righteous people who did everything right, who wouldn't understand that the parts of the Messiah that I needed in my life were the parts about forgiveness and abundant life and being freed, no longer being a captive, and being healed in my heart, regardless of what else went on in my life. We returned glorifying and praising God and telling everyone we met on the way back to our sheep. We didn't get there until the morning. We didn't really care about the sheep at all. And others had no idea what to do with us. But once our lives had encountered these heavenly hosts praising God and saying, once we had encountered the promise fulfilled in this baby, we could not help but tell everyone we saw. For I knew that night that Jesus came for me. I was not too insignificant for him. I was not too low. I was not too broken. I was not too bad. I had done some horrible things. I was not unforgivable. I was not too unimportant. I was not too far away from God for him to reach out and bring this good news of great joy to me. I was not too anything for God not to be able to love me, to search for me, and to want to bring me home to him, and to forgive me, and to give me a new life and a hope for the future. That night I got to go and see. And I got to encounter Jesus as a babe. And I began to glorify and praise him and wait with great expectation for what lay ahead. I realized that my life would always be lived in the tension of despair and hope. But that night, God changed everything. And my despair was completely hidden by the hope that comes in Jesus alone, not in my circumstances, not in things that will happen or things that will not happen, but in him alone. Despite my unworthiness, especially as I knelt before this young baby, I realized that somehow he was coming here for me. And in my heart I said, God is with us. God is with me. May we never lose sight of the miracle of that night and the miracle of the change that has happened in my life and the lives of so many people who were willing to look up and see the glory of God all around them, intersecting into the darkness of their life and bringing hope